This morning we come to pray, and we want to praise the Lord for our veterans, those who have served us through their service to our country. We want to praise the Lord for many of you are finishing up your community Bible experience, having read the New Testament in the last 40 days. We want to praise the Lord for that. I encourage you to continue to read because there's so much power in the Word. And I want to celebrate with Nick and Kendra Steins that they're grandparents, so we want to praise the Lord for that. We want to also pray for our country as it goes through this time of, let's just pray for our country. And then we want to pray for Jen Vollum. Her sister has been having complications with the heart procedure she's had. Mary LePage, as she's processing and grieving the loss of her husband. And Ashley, Gracie, and those who are also physically in need. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you and praise you for your love, that you would make a sacrifice for us. And I can't help but think of veterans in the midst of that, that they made a sacrifice for us also. Thank you for their service to us, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for the many people who've read the New Testament in the last 40 days. Thank you for how your word has worked its way into our lives. Continue to do so, Lord. And Lord, we celebrate with Nick and Kendra as they are now grandparents. And thank you for a healthy child. Pray that that child would come to know Christ soon in his life. Lord, we do pray for our country as it reels and heals and recovers from the election, and many people are divided. Lord, help us to realize that humility and seeking to do what's best for one another is so much more important than getting our way. And Lord, we do pray for Jen Vollum's sister. Help her heart to heal and recover. For Ashley Kostick as she's going through this treatment, and for Gracie Barr as she also needs healing from Hodgkin's lymphoma. We do pray for Mary LePage, that she would heal from the loss of her husband. We pray for others that have also lost a loved one soon, Lord. Comfort them. Lord, now as we look at your word and we sang about your word being powerful, a light to our path, help us to understand the single truth that you have provided hope for everyone who puts their trust in Christ. Help us to understand that, Lord. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we live in a day and age that is unique. There are so many shades of so-called truths, so many possible ways to God, and as long as you are sincere, anything goes. But in the midst of that, Jesus speaks and says there is absolutely only one way, only one truth, and only one life, and that is himself that gets us to God the Father. In this world of relativity, Jesus says, I am the one and only way. I am the only and absolute truth, and the only way to eternal life. Now I realize this is not PC, this is not popular, but it's what Jesus said. It's what Jesus said about himself. Thus we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice whether we will accept Jesus' claim or whether we'll go the way of the world. Jesus does not allow for a safe middle ground when it comes to what we are to believe about him. Either we believe him or we don't. Now, in a little bit, we're going to show a little 30-second commercial from Geico Insurance. I think, you know, I'm not promoting Geico Insurance this morning, but it shows how many people today spiritually try to kind of dance the line. And so as Jeff gets it ready, we're going to see what Geico can teach us about Jesus this morning.
I'm here in Bristol, Virginia, and now I'm in Bristol, Tennessee. On this side of the road is Virginia, and on this side, it's Tennessee. No matter which state in the country you live in, you could save hundreds on car insurance by switching to GEICO. Look, I'm in Virginia. I'm in Tennessee. Virginia, Tennessee. And now I'm in Virginia-see.
See how much you could save on car insurance.
Or am I in Tennaginia?
Followers of Jesus today are trying to play both sides, aren't they? They're trying to be in both worlds. They want to be a Christian on Sundays or when it's convenient because it's to their benefit. On the other hand, they also want to be in the world, don't they? When it fits what they want, when it's convenient, when it's beneficial to them. But Jesus doesn't leave us that option. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In truth, let's be honest, many people who call themselves Christians today are more like chameleons. They just want to blend in to wherever they are at that moment in time. Now, it's not easy to be an only Jesus person in this world, especially when, let's be honest, it's rewarded to be lukewarm. It's easier to coexist than to boldly adhere to the claim that Jesus is the one way, the one truth, and the one life that God has established for his followers. And yet, not just this verse in John 14, but throughout the New Testament and the early church, this conviction that Christ was the only way was the foundation upon which the church was built. In Acts 4, 10 through 12, it's read this way, "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you and the builders, which has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Only Jesus. Salvation cannot come from other means, but only through Jesus is there salvation. The Apostle Paul reiterated this in 1 Timothy 2:5 when he said, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." What this means is that there's only one way to heaven, and it is Jesus. Now, our struggle, and I think it's a very real struggle, I don't dismiss it, but our struggle is that we would rather be liked than to embrace the truth. We would much rather compromise what Jesus claims in John 14:6 and what the Bible teaches in order to fit in to society by allowing people to believe whatever they want. But I want you to know that letting people believe whatever they want is actually an unloving response. How can I say that? You might appear to be loving and caring by accepting people to believe whatever they want, but how loving is it that you accept them here in this day and age, but they end up spending eternity in hell? Yes, it is hard to hold on to this conviction that Christ is the only way, but it is the most loving thing to teach our children and others because Jesus is the only way. Now, if a bridge was out, for example, and you didn't want to offend somebody by saying the bridge is out, but you let them go on their way so that they crashed, that would be a very unloving response. The bridge to heaven is Jesus Christ. All other bridges have fallen. And for us not to say that would be an unloving thing. It's not loving to be liked when another person is going to crash and burn. It's really actually very selfish when you think about it. I would prefer my being liked by you than to tell you the truth that Jesus is the one and only way to heaven. On another hand, the other aspect of this compromising of the truth that we must address is just how offensive this must be to God. Remember that God the Father sent his one and only Son to die for our sins. Now, if there were other possible ways, what does that make God the Father into? If there was another possible way to heaven, but he sent his Son to die on the cross still, I think that turns God the Father into a monster. Someone who would kill his own son when there's another way is not really in love with his own son. But God did what he could only do because it was the only possible way, by sending his son to die. We have to face the reality that sin is bad. It's horrific. It's terrible. But in a culture where we don't want to say it's bad, we end up saying that there are other possible ways. But God saw sin as what it is. It's bad. It's terrible. And so in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he says this, "For our sake, the Father made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God." You see, God the Father put sin on his Son so that we could be made right with God. We don't see how terrible sin is enough. Sin has a requirement if we are to be made right with God. Hebrews 9:22 says, "Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." Sin requires a blood payment. That's how terrible it is. But the list of other ways that God thinks, or people think, are possible ways to heaven is long, isn't it? And we have this little stand up here, and many of these things on here are good things. Baptism. People say, "Well, I was baptized, then I go to heaven." That's counter to Jesus is the only one way to heaven. Baptism doesn't save you. Baptism is a response to the fact that you are saved through the work of Jesus Christ, the one and only way to heaven. Confirmation. You learn a lot about God. You learn and study, and you can even quote Bible verses. But doing that doesn't get you to heaven. Only Jesus does. Going to church. Now, I want a lot of people to go to church, but going to church, sitting in the pew, listening to the pastor, singing songs, doesn't get you to heaven, does it? Only Jesus does. Good works. I hope we're all doing good works. I hope we're all great neighbors and that we're helping people, feeding the poor. But it's not the good works that get a person into heaven. Only Jesus does. Now, those are good things we can do, but there are other things on that list that are maybe not so good. Other religions don't get you to heaven either. The Bible states, and Jesus claims, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one gets to heaven except through Jesus. The only way is Jesus. That is what our whole hope is based on. About 15 years ago, my brother Kenton came to me, and he asked me, you know, he was thinking about getting married. And he was asking me, what's the difference between Christianity and Mormonism? Because the girl that he was considering marrying was a Mormon girl. Now, I'll say this, you know, Mormons can make great neighbors. They can be nice people. They do great works. But there is a difference. And I shared with him, this is the difference. Mormons, they talk about Jesus, but it's Jesus plus a lot of other things. They don't recognize Jesus as the one and only way. They don't recognize Jesus as the God, the only God. It's Jesus plus a bunch of other things. I said, Christianity, though, boils down to this. Jesus, period. Jesus only. And so, religion sometimes can come and mask that truth. They can even talk nicely about Jesus and even say, Jesus is a great teacher. But we have to accept that Jesus claimed he is the way, the truth, and the life. No other way. Only Jesus. Ephesians 2, 4 through 9 again makes this clear when it says this. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one could boast. Jesus only. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said this in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. In other words, many people will come and stand before the Lord and say, but I was baptized, I was confirmed, I did good works, I went to church. And Jesus is going to say, I never knew you, because you didn't have a real faith and relationship with me, because I'm the one and only way to the Father. Not these things, but me only. Earlier in Matthew 7, Jesus said this, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Remember we talked about this? Jesus is the gate, the door. He's the only way, not other ways. And it's a free gift. That's the amazing thing about this. It's an absolutely free gift if one will just put their trust and faith in Jesus. But few choose to receive that gift. They would much more prefer their own efforts, their own attempts to get to heaven than the fact that Jesus himself died for them. Recently, I made a trip to Chicago for the Covenant Church, and I had to go through different connections in the airport. And I was flying out of International Falls, which was a great thing because I found a great ticket. And the only problem is we arrived with about 5 minutes left for my connecting flight, which meant I had to scramble and I had to hurry. And, you know, in the airport, they have those runways, I call them, the extra help that you get so you go a little bit faster. And I realized that I'm a little different, I'm a little strange. I suppose all of us are to some degree. But every time I'm in the airport and I see those runways that are going this direction, there's a little bit about me that wants to go on them in the wrong direction.
Anyone ever feel that way? Come on, Derek. You want to go the wrong direction on those things and see if you can get to the other side? Okay, maybe I'm the only one. But you know what? That's what's going on in the world today. Jesus is that going this way, and he's saying, I'll take you. I'll carry you. I'll take you to the other side. But what's happening is people are going that way. They're trying to do the very opposite of what Jesus has offered them. They're going the wrong way on the runway. And Jesus is saying he's the only way. And that's the struggle that our culture faces today. And Jesus repeatedly is saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the only way to the Father. There's no other way except through me. Now, I want to also shed light on this. A lot of times people say, that's very exclusive. It's not exclusive because anyone can choose Jesus. Anyone. It doesn't matter how terrible, horrific, bad you've been. If you will just come to Jesus, you can have eternal life. It's not about how terrible you've been. It's about the one who died on the cross. And it's for the whole entire world. So the message is absolutely inclusive. Anyone can have eternal life. Anyone can know the way. Anyone can know the truth if they will come to the one and only way, Jesus. You know, during this election season, there were a lot of crazy posts on Facebook, and some of them are very disturbing, but one that I came across was a quote from Abraham Lincoln. And it said, "Sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right." And if God is always right, and Jesus claims to be God, and Jesus claims to be the way, the truth, and the life, then it's time for us to get on his side and not make it about, Jesus, I'm doing this, now you bless it. But no, Jesus has already done it. Just receive it and be blessed is really what this is about. We must ask ourselves where we are in regards to Jesus' claim that we are the one and only way. We must examine our lives and see if we're straddling fences, trying to be in the middle of the border, or if we're truly committed to God and God only in our life. As our world continues to go in directions that it's headed, it becomes increasingly harder to live a life that Jesus is the only way. But this is nothing new in human history, is it? It's the human struggle. Even in the Old Testament, there are many examples of the nation of Israel struggling whether to really be on the Lord's side, to fully commit themselves to following Jehovah, Yahweh. They kind of want to only dabble with God. Even though they've witnessed God's great miracle of deliverance again and again, they continue to go back to the world. One of those examples is Joshua and the nation of Israel as they enter into the promised land. All of those years that God has guided and directed them, and now they're on the precipice. They're entering in to Israel. And Joshua is facing a nation that is making a decision. And some of them are going to decide not to follow God into the promised land. They might enter physically, but spiritually, they're going to look for something else. But in Joshua 24:15, it reads, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. The choice is the same today. Are we going to choose Jesus, the one and only way to the Father, the only truth, or are we going to choose what this world offers? We cannot straddle the fence. We cannot be lukewarm about Jesus, can we? Jesus never gave us that option. He said he's the one and only way. And this morning, I want to encourage you to make Jesus the one and only way. It's tempting to straddle the fence, but Jesus is calling you to believe in him, maybe for the first time or the 100th time, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Let us pray. Holy Father, first we must say thank you. Thank you that you did something about our sinful condition. And you provided a way out. And you did that by sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And it was a great price to you. And it's the one and only way back to you. Lord, we believe. We believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life. We believe that you are the only way back to the Father. And Lord, help us not to be tempted by the ways of this world, to say that there are other possible means. Help us to be fully committed to you and to you only. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.